Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we will be continuing our Euro 2016 coverage with Dylan Arvela today, rejoining us to talk about Portugal. If you'd like to find him, you can do so at the Box to Box Podcast or TBTB Podcast on Twitter. I think that's right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's all. That's,
that's the one. All right. Well, obviously, the Portugal-Poland match maybe didn't live up to the hype or to what it seemed it would be after the first 30 or so minutes. Renato Sanches scoring an incredible goal. What was your main takeaway from this match?
Yeah, so I actually had one of my friends said it was the tournament of the match, but I think he might have been taking the mickey out of me a bit there. I don't know if there was too much hype going into the game other than maybe Ronaldo versus Lewandowski, because it seemed a match between two teams that were pretty set up to be solid at the back. I'll start with the team news. Pretty much I got what I wished with Renato Sanches coming in for Andre Gomes, who has seemed to sustain the injury, which we'll probably see him out for the tournament. Fonte kept his spot over Ricardo Carvalho, which I hope is a permanent move. Guerrero, he's been struggling with an injury, the left back, so Alisson came in there. And Matinho, he still didn't get the start, with Adrian Silva keeping his spot in the middle. Leading up to the match, I was pretty confident. I believe that I picked a 1-0 in our last conversation, but waking up at about 4 a.m. before the game in Australia, I was a lot more nervous. And obviously 90 seconds in, I felt quite physically sick as a nearly unmarked Lewandowski scored his first goal of the tournament. Portugal, for the most part, other than the Hungary game, have defended fairly well. And against Croatia, they were quite good. But the big problem that remains from the group stage was the elementary errors have really led to Portugal conceding their goals. This time, the Southampton right-back, Cedric, he failed to read a simple crossfield ball. Instead of maybe jockeying the defender and just staying out of it until the Poland player got the ball, he could have just jockeyed him. Instead, he overran it, missed the ball, and basically a cross in the box from Grosicki. And instead of anyone being touched tight to the best striker in the world, it was managed to finish past Rui Patricio 1-0. And, yeah, that was not a good start. For most of the opening half hour, Poland were probably the better team. There was a nice play between Grosicki, Lewandowski, Milik and Krajkowiak. And that link-up nearly worked a pretty nice goal. On the half hour, though, a ball was whipped in the box and Pazdan, the Polish centre-back, who's apparently had a pretty good tournament. Like I said in the last show, I haven't watched Poland yet up until this game. He barged over Ronaldo, which for me, every commentator, every pundit was a clear penalty. No questions asked, wasn't given. At that point, I was thinking that perhaps it probably wasn't going to be our day, and that's probably because generally I'm a negative supporter when it comes to my teams. But only a few minutes later, an 18-year-old stood up and took the tournament by the scruff of its neck. Obviously, I'm talking about Renato Sanches, who linked up with Nani for a 1-2 where Nani put in a delightful back heel and Sanches struck from outside of the box. Yes, it took a deflection, but the whole play was based around Sanchez's willingness to drive at the Polish defence. He's 18, and as I'm more than willing to say, and I've said it on here a number of times, he has the ability to be the best in the world very soon. The rest of the game from that point, the main story really was the Ronaldo fluffing his lines in front of goals. Obviously, I've defended him on plenty of occasions, and I do feel he should have been awarded a few more fouls than he did get. But he just seems to be a player lacking confidence. Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe the most flamboyant athlete in the world, is at the moment short on confidence. He probably had five or six chances, but he only had one shot on target. And the stat was five shots, and I don't know if that includes another air swing like he did in the group stage. I don't know if it's karma or luck, but he just wasn't able to deliver. And also, touching on his free kicks, if he misses a goal, then fair enough, but it's so frustrating when he lines it up and he can't even get it past the wall, because that just seems to mean that he's not training to take these free kicks enough, because that's the first thing. That's obviously the first objective is free kick, to get it over and past the wall. Fernando Santos, the manager, made some fairly stock standard swaps. Moutinho for Silva after 70. I'm pretty sure Moutinho was the one who supplied Ronaldo with the dink that he air-swinged at. 10 to go, Quaresma came on for João Mário, and in extra time, Danilo came on for William Carvalho, who played a really good match in terms of sitting in front of the back four and recycling possession. And his 90% pass accuracy is testament to that. His passing stats aren't everything, but a player in his position, just to be able to recycle the ball and not give it away, is very important. Unfortunately, he picked up a yellow card, which means he will miss the semi, with Danilo the most likely to replace him, who is fine, but I don't feel he is as technically capable as Carvalho. So moving on to the good bit, the penalty shootout. But before I get into that, I do feel over the 120 minutes, Portugal probably were the better team. I hope I'm not being too biased with that, because when Portugal don't play bad, I feel that I do give them the stick that they deserve. First penalty, Ronaldo, which is interesting. In the 2012 semi against Spain, he was down at 5, and ultimately he didn't get to take his, because we missed 2, I believe. So, yeah, didn't get to take his. And he was also the 5th penalty take for Real Madrid in the Champions League this year. And obviously he missed against Austria. But this time, tucked it away. Good on him. Sanchez took the next one for Portugal, which, you know, is a tremendous sign of character. Once again, he's 18, and he managed to place it into the top corner with power and precision. 18, immense bottle for mine. Moutinho next. He missed against Spain in 2012. He slotted it away. Then Nani, he scored in 2012. And then Rui Patricio with an incredibly strong hand to deny Blaszczykowski. I'm often critical of Patricio for probably not fulfilling his potential, because I feel he could have went to, say, a top team in Serie A, La Liga or something like that. He's still in at Sporting Lisbon. He's about 25, still has time to develop as a goalkeeper, obviously. But in the shootout, made the crucial save, and he deserves credit for that. Then Quaresma stood up for the penalty with the chance to put Portugal into the semi-final, and he delivered. I mentioned last time how it's good to see him finally delivering for Portugal, and I just want to repeat that. One assist, the goal that won our round of 16 match against Croatia, the winning penalty here. He has had a really mixed career. He's been at Barcelona, Chelsea, Inter Milan, Al Ahly, but he seems to have sort of settled down after a good season at Porto and then last season at Besiktas. Most people thought he was going to be the big cheese out of him and Ronaldo, but obviously that didn't happen. But at 32, it's heartening to see that he still has the talent to light up Portugal's, which has been to this stage a fairly rocky Euro campaign. And, yeah, with that penalty, Portugal are through to a semi-final against the Welsh, who had an impressive 3-1 win over Belgium this morning.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. What I want to touch on next is this very weird narrative that's being propagated at the moment, which is that Portugal haven't won a match yet at this tournament. This is now 2 knockout wins that you've notched. Just why do you think that that's being circulated so heavily?
I think a lot of pundits and commentators and people looking at the game, I think there's a lot got to do with Ronaldo in the sense that a lot of people don't really want to see him do well, but basically because of his attitude. So that reflects sort of badly in Portugal. And because they're not the most exciting team to watch, people can't really sort of get behind them. So say if it was maybe 3-3 in normal time and went to extra time and they won and they were scoring all these goals, then it might be – they'd probably be bringing it up, but they're probably not saying it as more – they'll be saying it in a less negative fashion. But I feel that's the problem with the current format. I did say that after the group stage, they didn't deserve to get out. I've said that. That 3 draws shouldn't be enough to get you through the group stage, and Portugal were lucky in that sense, especially considering their group. Obviously, Iceland have played quite above themselves. Maybe I'm doing a disservice to them, and obviously Hungary played well in the group stage, but they're not that talented as individuals, and Austria underperformed. So not to get a win there is really a sign that Portugal shouldn't be where they are now, but they are. And in the knockout stages, the argument that, you didn't win in 90 minutes, I think is irrelevant because basically the rules of knockout football state that there will be a winner, and regardless of whether that's in 90, 120, as the Croatia game was, or after a shootout, that's basically all that matters. So just to reiterate, Portugal didn't deserve to get through their group. I agree with that. But in the knockout stage, that's how there is no draws in knockout football, just a winner and a loser. And Portugal have done enough to win their 2 knockout games.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what we're talking about, the narrative being that they haven't won in regular time. But if you have to say a stat like Portugal haven't won in regular time, then that means that they have still won.
Exactly.
So just thought that was worth bringing up. In this match, who impressed and disappointed you?
Well, I think you know who impressed me the most. It's a young 18-year-old by the name of Renato Sanches.
Who's that? Is he going to be really good in a couple of years?
I have said that on occasions he may be the best player in the world. I think on the Guardian podcast yesterday's episode, one of the pundits on there was saying that it'll be very interesting seeing the Pogba Renato Sanches rivalry down the years, which I really agree with. But in this game, he owned it. He was phenomenal. Just some numbers: 96 touches, which was the most for any Portuguese player. 94% pass accuracy, which was the most in the game. He had 7 take-ons, most in the game. 3 tackles, 3 interceptions. The goal, his drive to link up with Nani and the character to take the shot on. He wants to be involved. And for him to take the second penalty in a quarterfinal of the European Championship, this guy is the real deal. The only thing, and this isn't just in this game, that he needs to ease up on is some stupid fouls that will eventually lead to him picking up unnecessary yellows, which, as we have seen, have led to people being suspended throughout this championship. And just for example, when he loses the ball, but the player isn't really a threat, he just sort of, because he's so eager to get the ball, he just pushes them over, which, he just needs to sort of just jockey them. But he was exceptional in this game. And a few other people, Pepe, he was also great. He's been really solid, despite a lot of people keep saying that he's a bit of a loose cannon, including me at times. But in this game, 6 interceptions, 3 clearances, he blocked 3 shots, 2 tackles, and
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
With Pepe, there is also kind of this narrative that all he does is get red cards. Then there was that stat that he didn't do it for like 3 years, and he gets one towards the end of the year for Real Madrid. Which of that is really closer to the truth? Either that he fouls too much or that he doesn't?
I don't think he fouls too much. I feel that when he does get red cards, it's for reckless play. He did get a reckless red card against Germany in the opening game of the 2014 World Cup. But my feeling is he wouldn't have been at Real Madrid as long as he has been if he wasn't, if that was really an issue. And also, I have a feeling that with Fonte, he sort of feels more of a responsibility to maybe be more level-headed and more focused. But the red cards that he has gotten are normally quite reckless, and he's also got the reputation that's hard to sort of get rid of, that he play acts, which is a problem. It's sort of similar to the way that Sergio Busquets, the Spain and Barcelona midfielder, he developed that reputation. So I think that's the way he's sort of viewed.
All right, so now that I've wholly distracted you from the actual topic, who was it that disappointed?
Just a couple more players that impressed, because I was quite happy. Patricio, he made the save in the shootout. He also made a really good save a couple of minutes to go in extra time. Quaresma was just stepping up. Nani with the link-up on the goal. Nani, he's been playing out of position all tournament, but he hasn't looked like a player playing out of position. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't looked like he's not a striker, if you get what I'm saying there. And Carvalho for helping Sanchez control the midfield. And even Cedric, he made the mistake that led to the goal, but he didn't let that sort of get to his head, which is good to see. Disappointed though, it's Ronaldo. That was his worst game of the Euros. There's no two ways about that. He just kept missing the target, which, you know, that's his job, is to get it on target. I don't want to talk about it too much, and I'll pretty much leave it there, because he's already getting pummeled by most of the mainstream media and on Twitter, etc., and stuff like that.
Yeah, we don't need to pile on. You guys get it. All right, as you mentioned, we do know who your opponent is. It is a Welsh side that has continued to surprise for some. I'm not particularly stunned. Considering Belgium, I think we were talking about, I don't know if it was on or off air, that Belgium had exactly a 50-50 chance, because it was, were they going to show up or not? And then they kind of didn't. One side note of that Welsh win, it could have been a winning a battle, losing a war situation, as both Ben Davis and Aaron Ramsey will miss out due to what I think most people would agree is a silly yellow card rule, where if you get 2 yellows in 5 matches, You still get suspended, not taking into account an extra round of the tournament. But that is what it is. What are your thoughts as you head into that match?
I'll touch on the suspensions in a minute for the Welsh side, sorry. But after the Portugal game, there was a lot of discussion from fans about who they sort of wanted to face in the semi, because obviously it was the day earlier. One of the Portugal's big broadcasters, I think it was RTP, they had a Twitter poll asking that question, who did you want to verse? And it actually ended up with 82% saying Wales. And to be honest, I'm not sure why, because for me, Wales are an extremely harder team to beat than Belgium, who have only really looked good against a shambolic Republic of Ireland and a Hungary side that was set up to attack without the defenders to sort of stop a individually good attacking side in Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku, etc. I said after the group stage when we were nearly set to verse Belgium in the round of 16 instead of a Croatia that we got really lucky that Croatia didn't show up, because I would rather verse Belgium. Belgium aren't very good. And Lukaku, I thought Jordan Lukaku, he came in today. He wasn't very impressive, to be honest. So, and obviously the injuries to Vermaelen and Jan Vertonghen. The fact that only 18% wanted to verse Belgium, I don't know what. Because obviously I definitely wanted to verse Belgium, because they've got so many issues. And we were just lucky in that Croatia game that Croatia were pretty poor, because I would have definitely taken Belgium over Croatia. But anyway, Portugal v. Wales, obviously the media has already picked up on Bale versus Ronaldo. And I feel that if it ends up being a clash of Bale versus Ronaldo, it'll probably end up with Bale over Ronaldo, as Ronaldo already seems to be struggling with the pressure on him from the media, from inside Portugal, from himself probably, and also a seeming lack of confidence. I think other than Portugal, Wales is probably the only team that I've seen every game of so far in this tournament. I actually saw him in qualifiers a few times, and they've actually been really good in this Euros, but which is different from the qualifiers, because I actually thought they were quite boring and just were there to counterattack. And obviously there was that game against Andorra where they don't really offer much in attack. But now in this Euros, they've got 10 goals in 5 games, which might be the best return of the tournament. I'm not too sure of that. Germany could be up with their Belgium with the 4 goals and 3 goals against Ireland, maybe. At the back as well, only 3 goals against. One was a bomb from Ningalan this morning, and there were the two poor goals to concede in the second half against England. But like you said, they'll be out without Davies and Ramsey, who are huge for them. Ramsey, for me, has been their best player of the tournament. Collins will probably come in for Davies. I was saying off-air before to you, Kevin, how I think Collins is probably a better defender than Davies. But obviously Chris Coleman seems to be a fan of Davies in what he adds. And obviously he's also had a few, I think he's had 3 goal line clearances at this Euros, which, you know, shows that he's pretty good in that aspect. I don't know if big Sam Collins would be able to have been in those positions. Andy King might come in for Ramsey, he's a decent player, but obviously not Ramsey's caliber. Maybe Johnny Williams. But that'll be the main concern, I think. I think Collins for Davies will be all right, but Ramsey will be a huge loss. And but even with that, I imagine they'll stick to 3-5-2, which suits Bale, Joe Allen, Ashley Williams, their other key players. And that's a concern, because I think with a 3-5-2, Wales are pretty comfortable with allowing teams to go wide, and Portugal are really narrow sides, so there's the potential for this match to be a bit of a dour affair. Bale, obviously, their big goal threat, and his pace will be a concern against not the quickest centre-back pairing. But Danilo, since he's coming in for William Carvalho, who, like I said, will be suspended, he may be asked to go man-for-man with Bale. He's not obviously not as fast, but that could be a tactic employed here, because Bale, sometimes he doesn't always stand with the last defender, which means Danilo might be able to pick him up a little bit better. But we saw in Belgium, they scored 3 goals without Bale. Robson Kanu with a lovely turn, and he's obviously a physical presence. Conte will have to be, and Pepe will have to be strong against that. Sam Vokes, a talented player, someone I actually expect to go really well in the Premier League this year. He got a nice headed goal. Ashley Williams, he got a goal. To be fair, Belgium were pretty poor defending that corner. But Portugal going into this game, I think since Carvalho is not playing, I think Matinho needs to come back in for Silva, which will make up for the loss of Juan Carvalho's passing game. Guerrero, if he's fit, he'll probably come in left back. I'd love to see Portugal go back to 4-3-3, but that won't be happening, as 4-4-2 is Fernando Santos's baby, and because of that, it'll probably be a bit of a hard grind, me feels.
All right, and if I had to press you for a result?
Well, like I said, probably a dour affair. Portugal 1-0, our centre-back pairing, other than Germany, I would say maybe the best in the tournament. 1-0, Nani with a goal.
Fair enough. You heard it here first, folks. All right, why don't you tell the folks how they can reach you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Dylan Eloy Arvella, and I also host the Box to Box podcast, which you can find on iTunes and on Twitter at TBTB Podcast. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, pleasure having you back, and best of luck in the next round.